Many of you, most of you, I pray, are aware that we have a poet laureate in our congregation. Our own Blanche Ham has written a poem for today. He walked in the garden. He walked in the garden alone in despair. Sometimes he wondered why God sent him there. Though he knew he must die, that others might live, was it fair that his life be the price he must give? He walked in the garden, his head bowed in prayer. Though sleeping, not watching, his 12 were all there. The one who would betray him for silver, God said, his heart ached in sorrow for one he had led. The high priests and elders, the council, came nigh, and with Judas's false witness condemned him to die. They smote him and mocked him and spat in his face. This man of Galilee, this man of God's grace. Before the cock crew, Peter thrice did deny his master and savior, whom God sent to die. They took him to Pilate, his hands bound and tied, and Pilate said, let him be crucified. They stripped him and gave him a dark scarlet robe, a crown of thorns for his head on that last lonely road. They bowed from the knee and mocked him, those few, saying, hail, hail, ye king of the Jews. They came unto Golgotha, raising his cross, on the hill overlooking the souls that were lost. The blood dripped from his hands as they nailed him there, on that cross between the thieves. Didn't even God care? My God, why dost thou forsake me? The last words in agony there on that stake. He gave up the ghost. His work here was through. Eternal life was his gift. His son died for you. Amen. Thank you, Blanche, for another blessing. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. I want to take a look back at the Gospel of Matthew for today. You may have noticed, if you've been attending our services here throughout Holy Week, that we read, particularly on Good Friday, we have read the entire crucifixion story from all four Gospels. It's been a wonderful experience, a humbling experience, and a learning experience for most, in fact, for all of us, I dare say. Here this morning, we're going to read the resurrection experience from Matthew. You've heard it read. Here again, a portion, a small portion of it. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where they lay, where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he has gone ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came to him and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Luando's right. The first evangelists, the first proclaimers of the good news that he has risen, were the women. Indeed, consistent throughout the four Gospels, consistent throughout the four Gospels' rendition of the resurrection story. If you want to go and read Mark, and if you want to go and read Luke, and you want to go and read John, you will discover that consistent throughout all of the Gospels, as in here in Matthew, we have the proclamation being made by the women, and particularly by Mary Magdalene, that Jesus had been raised. Isn't that amazing? The voice that would be least believed in the ancient world, the voice that would be least listened to, the voice that would be most doubted, the voice that would be discounted, was the voice that God chose, the eyes that God chose, the witness that God chose to proclaim to the disciples and to us across nearly 2,000 years that He is risen. And the question that is asked of these women is a question that is asked of each of us today. What are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Are you looking for Jesus? You won't find Him in an empty tomb, my friends. He is risen. You won't find Him dead, bones in the ground, wasting away. You won't find Him in a tomb somewhere in Palestine. He is risen. And He is present at the right hand of the Father, as we heard from the letter to the Colossians. He is present at the right hand of the Father, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, He is present here in this very place, this very moment. Now, my sisters and brothers, we have a proclamation to make to the world. Just as God chose the women, the he heard, so now God chooses us. And think about it. By the world standards, we're no great shakes. We don't have any Bill Gates in the congregation. Oh. One tithe would solve every financial problem we ever had. We don't have any great Nobel Prize winners in our congregation. We don't have any. We do have a mayor. We don't have any congressmen or senators at the state or the federal level. We don't have any judges in a congregation. We don't have any lawyers. We got close with legal assistants, don't we? Yeah. We have some nurses, but we don't have any doctors. We have teachers. But most especially, we have you. And the world says, they're no important. Why should we listen to them? They're just bakers, mechanics, truck drivers. They're just teachers, university professors. Forgot about you. They're nobody special. Just people. Well, guess what? That's who God works with. People. People like Mary Magdalene. People like Peter, who couldn't open his mouth without putting his left foot in it. People like John, the beloved disciple, who did not run with the others, but stayed there at the cross with the women. People like you and me. People like the thief on the cross who said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Not every proclaimer of the gospel is someone with great credentials, my friends. All it takes are two eyes, one eye, no eyes but ears, a heart of faith, a mind to think with, and words to proclaim He is risen. But what does that message mean? If the world's going to hear it from people like us, common everyday folk, if the world's going to hear this message, what message are they hearing? Thomas Jefferson, one of the great founders of our nation, was a deist. He believed in the existence of God, and he believed that Jesus was a good and wise teacher, a very good man whose teachings you should listen to. But Thomas Jefferson did not believe in the resurrection. his edition of the Bible. He produced his own translation and his own textual edition of the New Testament. And in his edition of the Bible, the story ends with the crucifixion. There is no resurrection story in Jefferson's Bible. He believed that was added later by people who wanted to believe that Jesus had been raised. He believed Jesus was a good and wise teacher, a good and wise man who established a social ethic that should be followed and lived and obeyed, and that it ought to be taught in the world. He was no atheist, my friends, but neither was he a born-again evangelical Christian. He was a thinker, and he was so very wrong. What message are we to proclaim, we common everyday folk? What message are we to proclaim about this man? This man who is God. This man who was born in Bethlehem of Judea, of a girl of great youth, not even married, of a miraculous event that the world does not believe, the virgin birth. What about this man who had no super powerful PhD degree, who wasn't a leader in the temple and wasn't a great and powerful member of the Sanhedrin? A man who wasn't a military soldier like most of the Jews were expecting the Messiah to be, wasn't a commanding general of armies, but a commanding general of faith and righteousness. What about this man who talked about the love of God and the calling that God has for each of us to trust only in him? Not in ourselves, not in our own understanding, not in our own conception of what God's will is, but rather in what God's will actually is by acting and living in faith, trusting in the Word of God. What about this man who healed the blind, opened stopped up ears, and raised the dead? Stories which the world does not believe. What about this man who then went to the cross and died for you and me and for every sin that has ever been committed or will ever be committed? What are we going to proclaim about this man? Just that he was good and wise and established an ethic that we ought to believe? No. The angel's question to Mary and the other women is a question that we need to hear today too. Who are you looking for? Are you looking for a good and wise teacher? Are you looking for a philosopher? Are you looking for someone who establishes a social ethic and a way you ought to live and be good to one another? If all you're looking for is morals and ethics, there are wonderful ethical theologians and philosophers out there to listen to. But what Jesus had to say about himself is absolute nonsense if he's not God. So what do we proclaim about this man, and for whom are we looking? That was the angel's question. Who are you looking for? Are you looking for a good and wise teacher? Are you looking for a friend, a companion in this life? Or are you looking for a Savior? Are you looking for a Lord and King? Are you looking for God? That's what Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is all about. The proclamation that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, that he stretched out his arms on the hardwood of the cross and died for our sins and then was raised for our eternity and now sits at the right hand of the Father on high and indeed is present with us today through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not some story about a good and wise teacher, but a story about God coming to be with us, to reconcile us to himself, and to establish truly the kingdom of God here on earth. That is the meaning of this resurrection day. I have many friends, many skeptical friends. I meet many people on the internet. It's an idiot place. I sometimes wonder why I bother. Sometimes I'll show an email or two I get to Peggy. And Peggy will laugh and say, "What is with these people? They're a bunch of dumb numbskulls sometimes." But every once in a while, I'll get a very good question. And I got one not too long ago. And the question was a simple one. You believe Jesus is raised from the dead, where is he? If he's really raised from the dead, and he's really alive today, then you can point me to him. Where is Jesus? And I gave that some thought, and I remembered some things that I have said in previous Easter Sunday sermons, and I thought about it for a moment, and then I told him. I sent an email back to him. And I said, "If you want to see Jesus, if you really wish to see Jesus, if you really want to see the crucified and risen Lord of all creation, then turn to a member of his body, a member of the church, and you'll be seeing Jesus." Wow. That's a tall order, friends. Well, you know, Susie is a wonderful person. She's a good Sunday school teacher. She's excellent, wonderful question asker in Bible study class. I just love the questions that she asks in Bible study. She is innovative in Sunday school programs and in educational programs in the life of this church. She's a woman of faith. But you know what? I don't think Jesus looked a whole lot like her. He looked more like a Jew from Palestine about 2,000 years ago. I don't think he smelled as good as Susan does. Sorry, Tim. Where are you? Oh. Guess what? When you're looking at Susan, when she's walking in faith, she may not have all the answers, but she knows the one who does. Look at the person, the people seated around you. For some reason, most of the people seem to sit halfway back in the sanctuary. Sometimes it feels like this side's going to tip, sometimes this side, and usually it's the back side that tips. Now, you may not look, sound, smell, or probably even taste like Jesus, but guess what? When we gather together as the body of Christ, when we gather together in worship and in faith, partake of the sacrament of Holy Communion, sing praises to Almighty God, hear the scriptures read and proclaimed, pray and lift up in prayer and praise the concerns of our fellow Christians and those whom we don't even know. When we gather together and partake of all the many means of grace, Christ is formed within us. The power of the Holy Spirit places Christ within us anew, and we become truly the body of Christ. When we partake of Holy Communion, as we will in a few minutes, it's just bread and wine. But they become, when we approach them with faith, these elements become conduits, means by which the real presence of Jesus is communicated to us. And it's not just for something for us to cherish and keep jealously as our own possession. No, it is a presence, it is a power, it is God's grace that we are then called to share with others. We are knitted together in Holy Communion and made one together and empowered by God's presence then to share the true grace of Jesus with all whom we meet. In other words, our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters believe that when you eat and drink of the bread and the wine, you are literally eating and drinking Jesus, because the bread is transformed into his flesh and the wine is transformed into his blood. We tend to believe that when we eat and drink by faith, we are transformed into the body and presence of Jesus in this world. It's sort of a transubstantiation of us, of the believers. So today I invite you to come to the table of the Lord and to receive the bread and the cup and to receive anew the real presence of Jesus and to experience the risen Lord by faith formed in your hearts again and truly know and experience that he is risen. Who are you looking for? You're looking for a good and wise teacher? You're not going to find him here. You're looking for a Savior, a Lord, a Master, and a God? You'll find him here. You'll find him in Scripture. You'll find him in the community of the faith. And we are called to share him, to share the good news of his life, his death, and his resurrection with all whom we meet. Give thanks and praise to God this day, that when we meet together and partake of the means of grace, we are truly empowered and blessed and enabled to be the body of Christ for the world to see and know. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.